Greetings, my peeps, and welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy GD. In this episode, week three recap. So we'll go through all the news and all the different things that happened during the week. So with that said, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Yes, greetings, folks. It's your boy GD back with All Things Basketball with GD Podcast. And guys, we are in week three has passed. We're into week four. So you know what that means. The recap isn't here, guys. So we're going to get into it. With that said, let us not delay any further. A lot of news here. So let's get right into it. So again, shout out to my boy Ty the Pod Guy coming on last week. We appreciate him being on the show, and hopefully we'll have him pop on the show a little more often if he's able to do so, you know, his schedule and everything. So it'll be nice to, you know, have someone to bounce ideas off of, those sort of things. So again, thanks to Ty the Pod Guy. All right, so with that said, let's start with, of course, players of the week for last week. And in the East, it could have been a few different guys, but it seems like they settled on Darius Garland of the Cleveland Cavaliers. For the week, he averaged 25 points. He had over 7 assists, nearly 2 rebounds, nearly 2 steals. He shot it great from the field, from 3, and from the free throw line as well, guys. He had 4 games in the week, his team did, that is, and his team went 4-0. And one of those wins, Darius Garland had 39 points, including 7 threes that he dropped, along with 8 assists to get the win. Actually, that was early in the week against the Milwaukee Bucks, 116 to 114. So Darius Garland balling for the undefeated Cleveland Cavaliers. I'll talk about them as the show goes on. So big props there. They happened to beat for the week the Milwaukee Bucks at home, the New Orleans Pelicans on the road, Golden State and Brooklyn they faced at home. I actually saw the Brooklyn-Cleveland game, and when I tell you I was like nip and tuck, I actually thought the Nets had a chance to get them. I thought they'd be the team that would get them, but that wasn't to be the case, guys. The Cavaliers found a way to win, and they got to win. So, Darius Garland, player of the week for the Eastern Conference. In the West, could it be anybody else? The Joker, Nikola Jokic. Here's what he did for the week, guys. His team went 4-0, by the way. They beat Toronto, all home games. Toronto, OKC, actually they handed OKC their first loss of the season, the Miami Heat, and the Dallas Mavericks. And oh, by the way, all but one game was a close one, was a two-point win. 3 of the 4 wins were two-point wins, so they were locked in close games, guys. Here's what the Joker did for the week. 29.5 points, nearly 16 rebounds he averaged, and 14.5 assists, and throw in 2 steals per game as well. Shot it terrific from the field, was 500 from 3, and only took 12 threes for the week, guys. He made 6, and nearly perfect from the line. He missed 3 of his 29 free throws. And, oh, by the way, in those four games, four triple-doubles, guys. So, Nikolai Jokic, balling, absolutely balling for the Denver Nuggets, who had a pretty good week, guys. They had a very good week, as you can see, with the four wins. So, Nikolai Jokic, pretty much doing Nikolai Jokic things, to be honest with you. So shout out to the Joker and shout out to the Denver Nuggets. So with that said, let's get into the news. Top story, guys. Oh, what else could it be? Joel Embiid. He gets suspended, guys, three games without pay for that altercation. I said it was initially a confrontation. It was actually an altercation where Embiid pushed the Philadelphia Inquirer columnist Marcus Hayes. So he ends up pushing the guy, trying to lay hands on him, that sort of thing. So he gets a three-game suspension. So the way it shakes out, guys, Embiid will actually make his debut this week. If form holds, he's supposed to make it on Wednesday, of course, versus my Knicks, so in Philadelphia. So we'll finally get to see Joel Embiid make his season debut for the Sixers. And, of course, you had a myriad of people who had things to say about it. Draymond Green, your buddy and mine. I'm actually on the same page with him with this. Here's what he said. There's no need to mention his son and his brother as far as Embiid's son and his brother that passed away. And because of that, no one knows any of the other part of your article. The focus was mainly on that. And he actually had Fred VanVleet on the show who agreed with him and said that the mention of those names were out of pocket, which I agree. I agree with Draymond. And, of course, you know, at the end he said, of course you have to lay hands on him. The All Things Basketball with GD podcast does not advocate violence. Let's get that out there. But I agree with most of what Draymond said. And then J.R. Smith, who now comes on Nightcap on Wednesdays. And shout out to Nightcap, guys. J.R. Smith, he's been on there two Wednesdays in a row, and he's been killing it, guys. I think he brings more credibility to the show than Gilbert Arenas. I'll just put that out there. He gives you more insight. There's no tilt one way or the other. He gives it to you straight, no chaser. So shout out to Unk and Ocho over there for bringing in a guy like J.R. Smith, who's very knowledgeable of the game, guys. He's been a former Knick, a former Nugget. He's played with LeBron at a few locations. So he's been all the way to the championship. He's won it with LeBron a couple of times. So this is a guy who brings some cachet to the table. So shout out to Nightcap for bringing on J.R. Smith to come in that Wednesday spot for them. Here's what he had to say. You have to draw the line somewhere. If you want to critique me and my game, no problem. But you talk about my son and my dead brother, nah, I got hands on you. Again, the All Things Basketball with GD podcast does not advocate violence. Let's get that out the way. But I agree with J.R. Smith. You want to critique a player's game, have at it. That's fair game. When you start going low by mentioning the man's brother who passed away and then his son, then you're out of line. And then Ocho, following what JR said, he said he did that on purpose, knowing that it would upset Embiid. And I agree with that. I think he did that to get a rise out of Embiid. I really think so. And he got Embiid's attention by saying that, that's for sure. Here's my question, though. Okay, Embiid got suspended. Fine. I have no issue with it. Three games, I'm okay with that. Where's the reprimand for the columnists, for Marcus Hayes? Where's that at? You can't. I understand you retracted the original article, but the damage was done. So there should have been some repercussions on the Philadelphia Inquirer's end as far as reprimanding Marcus Hayes. That wasn't done. And furthermore, according to TMZ Sports, Evan Benn, who is that newspaper's senior director of special projects and communications, he said that as far as Marcus Hayes, he'll continue to cover the team. So there's no reprimand. There's no kind of accountability for him writing such a thing like that. So I got an issue with that. So shame on you, Philadelphia Inquirer. You should have did something about Marcus Hayes writing that type of article. So I'll just put that out there. And as far as Philadelphia themselves, they're struggling, guys. They're struggling really bad. They only got 2 wins on the season. And like I said, Embiid, he'll make his debut against the Knicks, of course, as form will have it. Actually, it's supposed to be Tuesday night against the Knicks. You just got back Paul George, who he was out initially early in the season. And then now you're without Tyrese Maxey. I'll talk about that later when I talk about the injury news. So, and then add on top of that, the team was fined $100,000 for the comments that both the president over there, Daryl Morey, what he said, and then what Nick Nurse said concerning Embiid's health and about him not playing the back-to-backs and all that. The league was like, whoa, you can't put that kind of news out there. So, dean of all things as far as fines and suspensions, Joe Dumars said, yeah, I gotta hit you. So $100,000 for the franchise for putting out such statements as that. So again, Philly's struggling right now. So let's see if they can right the ship. They will get Embiid back for the moment. Well, I'll talk about that when I talk about Maxey, but the Sixers reeling right now. So we'll see what happens with them. All right, let's move on. Injury news. And man, I got a whole list here. Good gracious. So here we go. Starting in Atlanta, DeAndre Hunter of the Atlanta Hawks. Guys, he remains out with a knee injury. He hasn't played since October 25th. And there's a chance now, I'm hearing, that there's a chance of him returning to the lineup possibly this week. So we'll keep an eye out for that. And the interim, Zachary Richardson, the rookie for them, has been kind of shining in Hunter's absence. So once Hunter get back, then of course, Zachary, he'll go back to a bench position. So keep that situation, keep an eye on that, that's for sure. So that's that. Aaron Gordon, guys, out multiple weeks for the Denver Nuggets with an injured calf. And this happened in the first quarter of a November 4th win over the Toronto Raptors. So Aaron Gordon, remember, guys, I told you that the Denver Nuggets are pretty thin as far as their bench goes. So you take away a guy like Aaron Gordon, that's not good. So in the interim, you have to elevate a guy like Perry Watson. He's now in your starting lineup for the moment. So big blow for them. And then you know you have the tenuous health of both Jamal Murray and also Michael Porter Jr. So you have that. Russell Westbrook's been a godsend for them. He's been able to come in and bring some fire off the bench and be a spot starter for the times where Jamal Murray has to take a seat. But again, the Nuggets had a good week, but I think depth is going to be an issue for them. So hopefully they can shore that up at some point in the season. So we'll see what happens there. Nick Richards for the Charlotte Hornets. He's going to be out 2 weeks, guys. And that's with a rib fracture. And he suffered that in an on-court collision that happened on, actually, November 1st. In the first half in a loss versus Boston. So, Nick Richards. Now, remember, guys, they're already down Mark Williams. So, you're down a center there. Now, you're going to have your backup center who's been filling in. So, in essence, now you now have to rely on guys like Grant Williams, who's a smaller four who has to play the five now. And then you got to dust off old man Taj Gibson, longtime Chicago Bull. He also played with the Timberwolves under Tibbs. They came to the Knicks and played on the Tibbs as well for the Knicks. Brooklyn native. So now you're relying on him now. So hopefully they'll get Mark Williams back. We'll see what's happening with him. But Nick Richards out for 2 weeks, guys. So big blow to the Charlotte Hornets. Jeremy Sochan out indefinitely, guys, with a fractured thumb. And this happened in a November 4th loss at the Los Angeles Clippers. Jeremy Sochan, he started out the gate fast, guys. I really thought he had a real chance to be a contributor to the San Antonio club. He's going to be out indefinitely, guys. So this opens up the opportunities for a guy like Julian Champagne, him, also Keldon Johnson, and then Stephon Castle, your rookie. He'll get some extra minutes with that. But remember, Devin Vassell will be returning, and actually I have him listed here, so I'll be talking about him as I go forth. Oh, you know what? I'll just talk about it now. Devin Vassell, he makes a season debut on November 9th in a home loss to the Utah Jazz, a game I actually watched, by the way. Off the bench, he had 22 points. He, in that, included 3 three-pointers. So Devin Vassell's back. So that kind of alleviates and takes a little pressure off, but Jeremy Sochan out indefinitely. So, all right, guys, let us move on. Taylor Hendricks, a power forward or forward for the Utah Jazz, he's out for the season with a broken leg and dislocated ankle, guys. And this happened on actually October 28th. In a loss at the Dallas Mavericks. Tyler Hendricks, who was looking good in preseason, in the summer league as well, he kind of hoped the young man, his game blossom and grows, but he'll be out for the season, unfortunately, guys. Now you got to rely on rookie Kyle Filipowski, their draft pick that they got coming out of Duke. You're going to have to rely on him. John Collins, of course. They have him coming off the bench right now, guys, spelling a guy like Walker Kessler. So you're probably going to need him to give you some center and power forward minutes. So unfortunately for the young man, and we wish him a speedy recovery, Taylor Hendricks for the Utah Jazz. Tyrese Maxey, guys, I had mentioned it previously. He's going to be out multiple weeks with a hamstring strain. And that happened in a road loss to the Los Angeles Clippers. So Tyrese Maxey, a very vital piece for that Philadelphia 76ers club. So right now you're resting on the likes of a Kyle Lowry, the old man over there, also Reggie Jackson as well. So huge blow to the Sixers, who's already reeling, guys. You heard me talk about it. So this doesn't help matters. Getting MB back should be a help, obviously, but you need Tyrese Maxey, guys. So Philly in a world of hurt right now. We'll see what happens. Moving on, Zion Williamson. It seems like every year we're talking about him on the injury list, guys. He's out indefinitely for the New Orleans Pelicans with a hamstring strain. Another guy with a hamstring strain. In the aftermath of a loss on November 6th to the Cleveland Cavaliers. So Zion Williamson, he's out. And this is the first of many for the New Orleans Pelicans, guys. So you're going to have to rely on guys like Jeremy Robinson Earl, Javonte Green. So you see what happens there. Herb Jones, also for that team, out 2 to 4 weeks with a shoulder strain. So you're one of your better defenders on the team. He's out. CJ McCollum, he's out 2 to 4 weeks with a abductor strain. Of course, this is your starting guard there. You're already without DeJounte Murray. Now you're without your other starter in McCollum. So he'll be out 2 to 4 weeks, guys. And then Jordan Hawkins, your second-year guard. He's out 1 to 2 weeks with tightness in his back. And that happened during the loss on November 6th to the Cleveland Cavaliers. So Pelicans dealing with a myriad of injuries, guys. So you're going to have to rely on guys like Brandon Boston to fill in that guard for the moment. But, and of course you have Jose Alvarado over there. So New Orleans Pelicans, Willie Green has a task on his hand, guys, filling in these spaces for guys that he need to put in the lineup. So New Orleans Pelicans, we'll see what happened with them. Ja Morant, guys, who was playing very well, guys, looked like he was on the right track for the Memphis Grizzlies. He's out possibly multiple weeks, and he has what they're calling, now I want to get this right, posterior hip subluxation. I never even heard of that. So it's around the pelvic area, around there. And he's going to be out multiple weeks, guys. And this happened actually in a win on November 6th to the Los Angeles Lakers. Already, guys, you already have Desmond Bane out with that oblique strain. I talked about that last week. And he's on a week-to-week basis, so you got issues there. But, guys, Scottie Pippen Jr., if you're in fantasy, go pick that guy up now if he's on the waiver wire. He's right now is your de facto point guard for the moment because you're still without a guy like also Marcus Smart. So yeah, so Scottie Pippen Jr. has been playing well for them, and he's kind of keeping that ship afloat over there with his play. So hopefully Ja Morant is not too serious and he comes back soon. Kevin Durant, guys, he's out for at least 2 weeks with a calf strain. And this took place in a road win versus Dallas on November 8th. But, guys, you know Kevin Durant, he has an injury history, guys. Mike Budenholzer, man, he's pulling out all the stops. He, in the 9 games that KD has played, he's averaging 38.8 minutes. Why? Because the Suns are locked in these close games. So they can't even afford to put a guy like Kevin Durant on the bench for a long time because you're locked in these close contests. So Kevin Durant, again, out at least 2 weeks. So you're going to need guys like Bradley Beal to step up. He's played in 7 of the 9 games. He's dealing with injuries of his own between his knee and recently his elbow. He strained that. So you're going to need him to step up. But in the interim, you got guys like Royce O'Neal, the rookie Ryan Dunn. But that is such a pretty much a downgrade when you talk about a Kevin Durant. So bear that in mind. So the Suns, who are playing well, guys, this is a crushing blow for them. So we'll see what happens. Chet Holmgren of the Oklahoma City Thunder. Now, remember, guys, they're already without Isaiah Hartenstein, who's not due back until about December or so. And then you already lost the other Jaylen, J-A-Y-L-I-N, Jaylen Williams. You lost him for the season, guys. So, Holmgren out 8 to 10 weeks with a hip fracture, guys. And that happened like within the first 5 minutes of a loss just this past Sunday, November 10th, to the Golden State Warriors. So, crushing blow for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Right now, you're with pretty much without a big man, so you're pretty much winging it at this point. So maybe they could get some help off the street, but right now OKC in need of a big man. And then the last injury I'll talk about, Anthony Davis of the Los Angeles Lakers. Guys, he's been playing MVP basketball thus far. He's been absolutely balling. He suffers an eye injury also yesterday in a win versus the Toronto Raptors on November 10th. Guys, this is his third injury in that same eye. So I hear a lot of the pundits saying, yeah, he needs to start wearing those goggles. I understand. I get it. You know, it's uncomfortable and all these things, but I think with modern technology, we should be able to find a set of goggles that don't fog up on you like that, because AD needs this. He keeps getting an injury in that same eye area, so there needs to be something to protect his eyes. So we'll see what happens. The diagnosis hasn't come through yet. We know it's an eye injury. Basically, we're waiting for the diagnosis, so that's to be announced, guys. So hopefully it's not too serious. You can just throw on the goggles, get back out there for the Lakers. All right, so that's all the injury news as far as that goes. Guys, returning to the lineup, Seth Curry, he returns for the Golden State Warriors after missing 3 games. And he returns in a road win on November 4th, a road win at Washington, a game where he scores 24 points. He drops 4 threes in the game, along with 6 assists and 3 rebounds. So Steph Curry back for the Golden State Warriors, who's playing well also. Jaylen Brown, he returns after missing 5 games, guys, with a hip injury. And he returns for a road win versus the Milwaukee Bucks. In that game, he has 14 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. So Jaylen Brown back in the fold for the Boston Celtics. Emmanuel Quickley, he makes his season debut on Friday, November 9th. Saturday, November 9th, in a road loss at the Clippers. And in that game, he has 21 points. He drops 3 threes in that game, along with 4 assists, 3 rebounds for him. So Emmanuel Quickley back. And guys, I'm in fantasy basketball. I had one guy offer me, what was the offer he made to me? I think it was Alex Caruso and someone else for Quickley. Jordan Clarkson. And I was like, nah, I'll pass. Quickley has too much upside. I'm not doing that. So Emmanuel Quickley back. Devin Vassell, I mentioned him coming back, and he came back Saturday as well, November 9th, in a loss to Utah. And I mentioned 22 points off the bench. And the last one, this one just came down the pike. Kyle Kuzma, he's going to make his return. He had the groin injury, guys. He's returning to the lineup after missing 5 games with that groin injury. And he's going to do that on the road against the Houston Rockets. So Kyle Kuzma back for the Washington Wizards. And then the last bit of injury news, so to speak. Greg Popovich, I reported last week that he was out with a undisclosed health issue. It's still undisclosed. They call it undisclosed medical episode that he has. He's still out. He's still away from the team. Guys on the team said they haven't been able to talk to him. So we don't know the severity of it, guys. Again, prayers up for Popovich. Right now, they're 2-3 without Pops up in there. The assistant coach for the moment, Mitch Johnson, he's trying to hold down the fort while he's gone. And then remember, guys, Popovich is 75 years old, making him the oldest NBA coach ever to walk the sidelines. So bear that in mind. But Popovich, of course, we're wishing a quick and speedy recovery for when you return. And some reports are saying if he returns. So we'll give you updates as we find out. So, all right. So that is your injury news. Victor Wembanyama, he's setting records, guys. On Halloween, I believe I talked about this. He had a 25-point, 5-block, 5-steal game. First one recorded in, you know, since they've been keeping records of the blocks and these steals. So pretty impressive. Then November 4th, this is what he does. 24 points, 13 rebounds, 9 blocks. Good gracious. And then on Saturday, November 9th, he has the first over 20-point game. He had 24. Over 15 rebounds, he had 16 of those. 5-plus blocks, he had 7. And then 5-plus three-pointers with 6. The only player in NBA history to do so. Victor Wembanyama. That's the type of numbers he's putting up, guys, which is why he ended up going number one on a lot of fantasy basketball draft boards. And it was between him or Nikolai Jokic. I think either way you can't go wrong, but yeah, he's putting up crazy numbers right now. So again, Victor Wembanyama just doing his thing. So all right, with that said, Laker news, guys. D'Angelo Russell has now been relegated to the bench as of Friday, November 8th, and they replaced him with Cam Reddish, guys. This is how bad it's gotten in Lakerland, guys. We have now banished, well, they have now banished D'Angelo Russell to the bench. And guys, his average on the season right now, just about 13 points per game in 10 games he played, almost 5 assists, over 2 rebounds. He's shooting it from the field, though, guys. Not even 41%. Good grief. 31% from 3. And then he's only attempted 20 free throws for the season in 10 games, making 18. So, D'Angelo Russell coming off the bench for the Lakers now. So, kind of shake up the lineup. We'll see what happens there. LeBron James with back-to-back triple-doubles for the week. He has a triple-double against Philly. 21 points, 13 assists, and 12 rebounds. And then he comes back later and has 19 points, 16 assists, and 10 rebounds versus the Toronto Raptors. The oldest player in NBA history with back-to-back triple-doubles. So LeBron James still making history, guys. And speaking of James, Bronny James, in kind of a news but not news sort of item, Bronny goes, he gets assigned to G League, South Bay Lakers, ahead of their season opener down in the G League on November 7th, to the surprise of no one. The Lakers been saying this for the longest time, so I don't know why we're even making a big deal out of it. But again, I get it. It's LeBron's son. We got to follow every movement, everything that's being done. So, yeah, I was actually agreeing with DJ Treacy Treese, who I follow on Instagram. She's a great follow. She covers L.A. basketball. If it's L.A. basketball or L.A. sports, Treacy Treese, I got to try and get on the show one of these days to find out what's popping in Lakerland. So shout out to DJ Treacy Treese, who's doing her thing out there on the West Coast. So that's your Laker news, guys. Let's move on. A few more items here. The NBA All-Star Weekend, guys, is going to take place November 14th, 2025 through November 16th in the San Francisco Bay Area. Here's how it shakes out, guys. On February 14th, they'll have the Ruffles Celebrity Game at 7 p.m. That'll be in Oakland Arena. So we'll see who's the likes of who ends up coaching that. No, last year was Stephen A. Smith versus Shannon Sharp, Unk. So we'll see who ends up coaching it this go around. And then later in that evening at 9 p.m., the Castro Rising Stars game. And that'll be in the Chase Center, which is the new arena there. I believe they'll hold it the same way they've been holding it, with the kind of round robin between the four teams. I think that's how they're still doing it. It seems to be pretty successful as far as that goes. I dare I say, perhaps, perhaps the All-Star game itself may want to consider something like that, but I digress. February 15th, you have the All-Star practice taking place at 2 p.m., followed by the HBCU Classic And that'll be between Morehouse versus Tuskegee. And that's at 5 p.m. All of that is in the Oakland Arena. And then your All-Star Saturday night, the skills challenge, the three-point contest, the slam dunk. That's at 8 p.m. And that'll be in the Chase Center. So, man, I got to figure out how I'm going to get there. I may try. We'll see. But guys, you can help me out. I need some crowdfunding here. If you want your boy to be at the All-Star, I would go to All-Star Saturday. I would come back for the All-Star game, to be honest with you. I can watch that at home. If it's anything like last year, I would just do All-Star Saturday and then fly back east. And watch the All-Star game at home. So we'll see what happens. But, bear that in mind, guys. I got my Cash App and everything floating. So you want to help a brother out, please do. And then February 16th, the All-Star game itself. And that's the 74th annual All-Star game. So next year will be the 25th. So that should be a big celebration there. So. And they'll be in the Chase Center. So there's that. Next item. Speaking of the NBA Commissioner's Cup, guys, that will start tomorrow, Tuesday, the 12th of November. And one of the marquee games, guys, Dallas going to Golden State. And the significance of that is Klay Thompson returning home to the Bay Area where he played, where he spent 13 years. He played 11 because remember he had the two seasons with the knee injury. So, and in that time, guys, in the 11 seasons there, 19.6 points, 3.5 rebounds, over 2 assists, and his three-point percentage over 41%, guys. So, Klay Thompson, and oh, by the way, a winner of 4 NBA titles with the Golden State Warriors. So, you know it's going to be a tribute, the whole works. So, I'll try and watch that if I can. And then, actually, speaking of homecomings, Paul George, he returned back to the Los Angeles Clippers area there. He returned there on November 6th in a 110-98 loss to the Clippers as a Philadelphia 76er. In the game, he only played 23 minutes, 18 points, 7 rebounds, 3 steals. And the person who replaced him, Norman Powell, 26 points and 6 assists. And they did, a whole video tribute to Paul George. He spent 5 years there. He only averaged 52.6 games, guys, that he played with them. Mind you, one of those seasons was the shortened season, the bubble season, where they only played 72 games. So bear that in mind. But he only averaged about 52.6 games that he played with the Clippers. So there's that. He did put up his best numbers across the board, guys. 23 points he averaged, 6 rebounds, 4.5 assists, 1.5 steals per game. And his shooting percentages across the board, much better there than when he was in Indiana, when he was in OKC. So Paul George getting his tribute coming home, but his team getting a loss. So there's that. And then, we had a few marquee moments during the week. Cade Cunningham with 3 straight triple-doubles, guys. His team went 2-1 in those games, but Cade Cunningham is balling right now. Also, guys, You had records being broken. DeMar DeRozan, he scores 27 points in a game for the week. And he actually scored 20 and over in his first 8 games with the Sacramento Kings, which is a record. He broke the previous record by Chris Webber, who in 1999, his first 7 games, he scored over 20 points per game for them. So DeMar DeRozan, a fine pickup for the Kings, doing this thing for the Kings as well. And then, of course, you have to have a cat report. Karl Anthony Towns on Friday night, November 8th. He absolutely tears up the Milwaukee Bucks in a 116-94 win. 32 points. He drops 4 threes in the game, 11 rebounds, 5 assists for Karl Anthony Towns, who's absolutely balling for the Knicks. In the loss, Giannis, 24 points, 12 rebounds. They tried to put Giannis on him. They tried to put Brooke Lopez, Bobby Portis, and it just didn't matter. Cat was cooking. So Karl Anthony Towns with a nice week for him. And I talked about Zachary Richardson for the Atlanta Hawks, what he did against my Knicks, 33 points, 6 threes along with that, 7 rebounds. No, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks in a 121-116 win versus my Knicks. So much so, Trae Young got upset because there were Knicks fans in the Atlanta arena, and he basically told them to get out of there. Trae Young, a young man who needs to pay a visit to Rogaine, but I digress. But but in that game, Karl Anthony Towns went nuts in that game. 34 points, 5 threes along with that 34, 16 rebounds and 3 blocks. So Karl Anthony Towns is absolutely killing it for the Knicks, guys. So, yeah, so pretty much that's your week in a nutshell as far as top performances goes, guys. And then let me finish off with my GD's Big 5, my top 5 teams in the league. Of course, number 1, the Cleveland Cavaliers, right now 11-0. And what Kenny Atkinson is doing, he is the first coach in his first stint with the team to amass such a record, going 11-0. So Kenny Atkinson, a guy I've actually excluded from my preseason coach of the year talk. I should have put him in there, to be honest with you. He's a proven guy. He's a guy who we see him do more with less. He has more right now and he's getting it done. So Kenny Atkinson, a very early on, a candidate you have to put in the running along with Chris Finch. I think I'll put Tibbs to the side, Tom Thibodeau to the side, and insert a Kenny Atkinson there because he's getting it done. So there's that. Second, Boston with a 9-2 record. Again, Jason Tatum, absolutely balling. MVP type work he's putting in for the Boston Celtics. Oklahoma City Thunder, third on my Big 5 lists at 8-2. You have 3 teams at 8-2, I think. OKC, the way they're just annihilating their opponents, guys, I have to put them third, especially the defense they're playing. They're going to take a hit now without a Chet Holmgren, so we'll see what happens there. And then fourth, Golden State, with what Golden State is doing right now, even the pundits have to say they're doing a bang-up job so far in the season. How Steve Kerr is incorporating the young talent with the talent that's there already. He's doing a fine job there. And then Phoenix, I have as the fifth team. Also 8-2. I think they're going to be in for kind of a blow there with no KD for the foreseeable future. So we'll see what happens if they do any slipping in the standings, Phoenix. All right, and then the last thing I'll talk about, last couple of things, rather. Brian Wheeler, longtime play-by-play man for the Portland Trail Blazers. He actually was there 21 years in 1998 up until 2019. He passes away, guys, at the age of 62, and he passes last Friday, November 8th. And then Brendan Brown, son of Hubie Brown, who was an analyst for the Knicks for 15 years from 2008 to actually last year, 2023. He passes away, guys, on Tuesday, November 5th, and he was just 54 years old. So condolences to the Wheeler family, to the Brown family for these losses here. We send prayers up and pray strength and comfort for your families as you deal with this. And then lastly, bit of WNBA news. As predicted here on this show, Stephanie White gets the Indiana Fever job. She has the press conference. She has players like Caitlin Clark is there, Aaliyah Boston's there. Also, you also know Kelsey Mitchell there. Well, she is a free agent, so there's that. Lexi Hall was there also. So a few of her players were there. So Stephanie White gets to go home to Indiana again, as predicted here on this show. And then the Chicago job goes to Tyler Marsh, who was an assistant with Becky Hammon over there with the Las Vegas Aces. He has a pretty good resume as far as even prior to him being assistant for the Aces. A player like Jackie Young credits him with her development, so he's a guy who knows how to develop young talent, it seems. So he's going into a shaky situation with the front office over there with the Chicago Sky, but we'll see what he can do with this young squad. And then remember, too, they're probably going to get a lottery pick coming out of this draft as well. So the draft coming up. So some building blocks for Tyler Marsh. Still offer positions to be filled, so we'll see how those shake out. But now, those are the ones we know about thus far. All right, guys, so that's it for me. All things basketball with GD.com. That's the website. Also, guys, I'm on YouTube. I'm there. Also on my website, your support buttons are there. Your Spotify donate buttons there. Buy me a coffee is there. Also, my PayPal button is there. Along the scroll, guys, I put my email contact there. That's sportsdugd@gmail.com. And also, my Cash App is there, guys. $GD, that's sportsdug. So you see it right there in the scroll, guys. I think I'm going to keep it there like that for now. And then, of course, all podcast platforms, I'm there. Apple Podcasts, you can leave reviews and so forth. You can leave comments on YouTube, like the videos wherever you see them. Social media, TikTok, of course. I do my shorts. I do my advertisements there. Also, IG, I'm heavy there. Also, LinkedIn, I'll post there. Twitter, I'm definitely doing away with Twitter, guys. I have no use for Twitter right now. I get it. Some people flock to it. But I have absolutely no use for Twitter whatsoever. Facebook, I'm even on shaky ground with that as far as how I want to deal with that, but it is what it is. All right, guys, so I thank you for listening. As always, your listenership is always appreciated, always wanted. Feedback, guys, give me feedback. You can hit me up on Instagram, you know, in the messaging. You want to do that, that's fine. Email is there. You can email me as well. I need to start doing the newsletter. I have to work on that, guys. So much on my plate, I tell you. So it's a work in progress. All right, guys. So thank you for listening. As always, we'll talk soon. Take care.